Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. Today he'll bring part one of a message titled, The God Who Can Do Everything. The text is from Job 42, verses 1 through 6.
Open your Bibles to Job 42. As you're doing so, we welcome you back. Thankful for God's protecting care of you. I heard of no accidents, certainly no serious ones. I don't know all of the things that you enjoyed with your families and friends. I can be sure of this. There are fewer turkeys in the world today than there were a week ago. And you helped to contribute to that, and I did too. I had a turkey sandwich for Thanksgiving Day. That's all I had. It was all I needed. I was traveling overseas and grabbed a turkey sandwich at home before I left. I hope you had a real sure enough turkey and then several days of turkey sandwiches and turkey soup and all the stuff that was left over. We just keep on eating turkey and enjoying Thanksgiving for a long time to come. Before I read the scripture, let me share with you again by way of prayer request for Dr. Ian Paisley. I preached for another pastor over there Sunday, but stayed in the Paisley home and spent a lot of time with them. And I shared with you about 4, 5, 6 weeks ago when I was over there last that something magnificent is happening there. Dr. Paisley is now the head of the majority party of Northern Ireland. Now, when he speaks, the governments of Ireland and of the UK have to listen because he's the man. He's saying the same things he's always said, but the media ridiculed it and the other governments didn't listen, thought this fanatic who's insisting that the IRA, the terrorist organization of Northern Ireland, which, by the way, is documented to have spent at least $6 million in equipping the terrorists and the drug cartels of Colombia. They've had some of the IRA members actually arrested there. They're now serving jail times. They've trained many of the Middle Eastern insurgents. It's all documented by their police. I talked to the retired former chairman of their entire police mechanism, like the head of the FBI. I sat with him at a banquet on Saturday night, and he shared with me many of these things. And Paisley's insistences are simple and apparent. He says, I'm not sitting down in government with the Sinn Féin, the political arm of these terrorists, the IRA, until it is verified that they have disarmed, that there are photographs of the disarmament, that the police have all the records, that all of their weapons are destroyed, and that their entire drug mechanisms and all the other support mechanisms for their terrorist activities are dismantled. He said, then I will sit down in government with these people. And until then, the government of North Ireland will not be reestablished. And by the way, when it is reestablished, he will be the Prime Minister of Northern Ireland. God has greatly exalted him. God raised him up out of literally a bed of death. The family had given him up as dead in August, and God has raised him up. He's 78 years old. And now he is making the demands that he's always made, and he will not back down from those. And it appears that the IRA is ready to say, well, we have no choice, we'll have to do this. And how much freer, how much safer the people of Northern Ireland will be because he has not compromised and has just remained adamant. He's taken a lot of guff for it, and he is accused of being the most unreasonable man on the face of the earth, but what could be more reasonable than to say to the terrorist, you can't have a place in government until you desist from your terrorism. Mr. Bush called him on Friday, and he told Mr. Bush, he said, you wouldn't sit down in your government, you wouldn't have people participating in your government who had destroyed the trade towers of 9/11. You wouldn't do that. Neither will we. And he's having talks today again with Tony Blair, Prime Minister of the UK. Over the last 6 weeks, they've had many talks, as he has with the Prime Minister of the South of Ireland. And they all understand his position, and they all are saying it's right. Now, how do we go about this? Well, there are some demands that are being hammered out this week. It would not surprise me at all. I don't think it would surprise Dr. Paisley at all if this week provided the IRA will agree to these things, and it doesn't appear they have any choice, that there will be a new government reestablished in the north of Ireland, and he will be the head of it, and he will be the prime minister. We need to pray for him. He's begged me. He said, come back. Please tell the students and faculty to pray for me. Can you imagine the weight of the entire country upon him? By the way, so you might understand what he's doing. He said, how can I look the people in the eye who have lost loved ones, whose families have been the victims of these terrorists, who've died and been maimed? How can I look them in the face if I compromise and give in to these murderers? And by the way, so that you can put it in perspective, this policeman that I told you I sat beside, he told me this. He said, look, take what's happened in our little country of Northern Ireland and suppose it happened in America over all those years of all those murders and all those bombings and all those shootings. Do you know how many people in America would have died proportionally to those who've died in this North Ireland? He said 500,000 people would have been killed by terrorists in America. And 4.5 million people would have been injured and maimed. This is no small matter. And thank God for a man who is willing, for the sake of the families of those who have suffered so greatly over these years at the hands of these murderers, who will say, we will not sit down in civil government with murderers as long as they're continuing their activities. Please pray for him. The weight of the nation is upon him. I'll not take your time anymore for that, but he's a dear brother in Christ. He's a dear friend of this institution. He's looking forward to being here for Bible conference. And I really believe, I fully hope, that I'll have the privilege of presenting him to you as the Prime Minister of Northern Ireland, in addition to one of God's greatest preachers of this day, when he comes at Bible conference. Job 42, beginning at verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare unto thee. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. I want to preach to you this morning, in a very limited time, the God who can do everything. Suppose you were sitting around a campfire at a summer camp with Job, and it was testimony time. And Job, when testimonies were called for, stood up and said, well, here's my testimony. I know that God can do everything. And he sat down. Well, you'd say, that's good. I believe that too. Yeah, but you don't understand. Job didn't utter these words around a campfire. He uttered these words to God, who knew the thoughts of his heart. And he knew how much Job understood what he said when he said, I know, God, that thou canst do everything. How can a man know that God can do everything? There are only two ways. One, by the hearing of the ear. And that's how most of us in this room here today could say and mean it. God, I know you can do everything. We know it because he says so in his word. We know it because we've heard eloquent testimony from other people who've experienced the power and intervention of God in their lives. And they can say, based upon their experience, I know that God can do everything. Or we can say it as Job did in the latter years of his life. I know it because my eye has seen it. I've seen thee. I know what you can do. I've seen you at work in my life. Most of us never put ourselves in the place, never allow ourselves to be put in the place, never want to be put in the place where we are so utterly helpless and hopeless to do for ourselves that we see God intervene and answer to prayer. Maybe some of you have seen that happen during these days you've been away. I hope you have. You've come back stronger in Christ and with greater faith and with a confidence in the Lord you never had before, if that happened to you. It's a very simple message based upon these words, I know thou canst do everything and that no thought is withholden from thee. Ladies and gentlemen, you need this God. You need this God who can do everything. You need him more than you need anything in this life. He's the creator. He's the sovereign. He's without limitation. And by the way, He's increasingly knowable. That's what the life of our lives are about, from the cross onward throughout all of eternity. Job knew before the end of his life. He knew at the early part of his life that God could do everything. As a matter of fact, in the second chapter, God Himself attested to the fact that Job knew that God could do everything. Listen to what He said to Satan about Job. The Lord said to Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. God said, I know what Job is. I know that there's nobody in the earth like him that loves me as much as he loves me. By the way, the God who knows that much about us personally, folks, He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. Think of it now. Job, out of all the earth, and there were others who loved God in the earth, but God said, this man, I know his heart, loves me more than any man on earth. By the way, He knows those who hate him the most, too. He knows those in this student body. He knows what student in this student body loves him the most. I wonder if you're that person. He knows those in this student body who hate him the most, who are the most defiant, the most hard-hearted, the most rebellious, the most sinful. He knows those who, during this last week of Thanksgiving break, demonstrated by your heart and your thoughts who loved him the most. And He knows those who demonstrated by your thoughts and your actions and your heart who hates Him the most. And there are those in this student body who demonstrated both ends of the spectrum to God. And He knows both. Job was no novice when it came to knowing God. Early in his life, God said, He loves me most of all men on the earth. He's my most faithful man. And at the end of the life, after God had restored to Job double everything he lost, he had now the same number of sons and daughters living on earth as he now had in heaven. Those in heaven had been taken when the house blew in on them as part of the testing that God allowed Job to have and part of Satan's destructiveness in the process of testing Job. He had double the family now, double the herds, double the cattle, double the sheep, double everything. And he said, now I have seen as a result of what I've been through that God can do everything. I heard it before. I believed it. And God put His stamp of approval. He said, yes, Job did. But the only way he knew it was the hearing of the ear. He put his faith in me by what he had heard. Now he has seen it and his faith is even greater. All of eternity will not be enough for us to know the God who redeemed us and that we say we love. It's an increasing thing. Are you increasing in the knowledge of God? Are you increasing? Do you know more having been home this last week or wherever it was you were? Do you know more? Can you say with more authority than when you left here, I know God can do everything? Or do you know less about that because you've allowed sin to come between you and God so that the vision of God that you perhaps had before you left here is now so obscured. There's so much guilt between you and God. You know so much less of Him than you did before. I hope not. For our life as redeemed people is about the increasing knowledge of God and loving Him more and more the more we know of Him. There are some things about God we cannot know by the hearing. The problem is that most everyone in this room has heard so much about God that you're almost numb to it. You've heard so many sermons, so many Bible classes, so many testimonies that you've kind of stopped hearing. It happened to you a long time ago, perhaps. And that's the stupor that you find yourself in today. What is God's purpose in allowing you to suffer loss? Loss of health, loss of resources, loss of friendships. Why has God allowed you to be misunderstood and maligned and gossiped about and slandered and cursed? What is His purpose in allowing suffering for us? I think we have to conclude for the same reason that God allowed Job to have it, that he might come through it and say at the end of it, "Now I know by the sight what I've experienced. I have seen the faithfulness of God, the greatness of God, the power of God, the completeness of God. I'm more convinced than ever because of the loss, the suffering, the pain, the grief, the tears. I'm more convinced than ever that God can do everything." Now, this was a man saying this who had seen God take his children. His wife had become embittered. She said, "Curse God and die." There was estrangement between him and his wife because of his wife's improper reaction to God. She was responsible for that. He had lost the confidence of his friends. They all thought that he was living in sin and therefore God was punishing him for something. He lost his reputation with his friends. He lost his health. And when it was all over, he said, by the way, he never lost the confidence. He said, "In the midst of it, when I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold." And when it was all over and he was tried and it was over with, he said, "By the seeing of the eye, I know something about God I could not know with the hearing of the ear. I believed it by the hearing of the ear, but now I know it. It's been proven to me that God can do everything." If God didn't spare his children, if God didn't allow him to keep his health, if God didn't allow him to keep his possessions, it certainly was not because God could not have. God had a greater purpose. And I hope none of us in this room ever forget that when we suffer loss. And if you haven't, you will. It's part of the growth process that God allows to come to us. So we don't get dependent upon the things, but we get more dependent upon the God who is able to give things and withhold things. We come to love Him more than we love the things. We love the giver more than the gifts. What did you come to know about God this last week that you didn't know about God before you left here? You need God, the God who can do everything. Because you and I can do nothing. He said that. Without me, you can do nothing. And when this was all over with, Job's conclusion in the whole matter was, "I abhor myself." How can a man say that? We are self-loving people. We protect ourselves. We protect our turf. We protect our space. We protect our ambitions, our plans. We want to be in control of it all. And God says, "No. If I allow Satan to, he can take it all from you." By the way, I'm comforted, and you should be too, that Satan can have no more power over the children of God than God allows him to have. And if God allows Satan to test you by bringing loss your way, it is not because God could not have prevented it. He's the God who can do everything. He didn't prevent it because he had something better for you in mind. Though in the interim, you had to believe by faith that he did, because the evidence going on at the moment in your life says, "God has forsaken me. God is powerless. Satan is greater than God." The evidence at a time in Job's life would have seemed to say that, but Job knew better. He waited for God to work out his purposes. The God who can do anything, everything, is the God who wants his best for you and me. And he wants us to have the patience and the faith to believe that. And to let him do that without accusing him unjustly. So that when it's all over with, we love him greatly and we abhor ourselves greatly. All the self-love is gone. All the God-love is there. Because we realize how utterly dependent we are on God. We can do nothing. He can do everything. I intended to get through this today, but I haven't. But before you put your things away, I want you to stand up just a minute. I want us to do something to try to bring this to focus as we close. Now look, here's what we're going to do. If you know the first and last names of your four grandparents, your parents' parents, your dad's parents, your mother's parents, if you know the first and last names of those four people, your four grandparents, if you know the first and last names, remain standing. If you don't, please be seated. Be honest. Nothing for anybody to be ashamed of in any of this. Just a matter of fact. Surprised to see so many still standing. Here's the second question. How many of you know the first and last names of your great-grandparents? We're talking now about knowing the first and last names of eight people. How many of you know the first and last names of your great-grandparents as well? If you don't, sit down. If you do, just keep standing. I think that's pretty impressive that this many people know the first and last names of those eight people. Now you may all sit down. Here's the point. Almost everybody here doesn't remember the first and last names of the eight people who are dearest and closest to your life. In two generations, most of us will be forgotten. That's the point of this whole thing. In two generations, most everybody in this room, like your grandparents and great-grandparents, will be forgotten by those who have reason to remember them the most. Why do I say that? Because it puts in perspective something that this Scripture teaches us. We are nothing. We're as the dust of the earth. We're as the vapor. We're gone. And forgotten. We don't matter. But God does. And if you're spending your life focusing upon yourself, you're very foolish. If you're holding on to your life, I'm going to save my life for me. The Bible says you're going to lose it. And not only will you lose it, you're going to be forgotten. The fact you have lived won't matter. The fact I've lived won't matter. Because there are generations coming behind us who will walk across the stage of life for a very few brief moments. And they'll strut and they'll do their thing and they'll be forgotten. And the wheels of eternity will continue to roll while you and I turn to dust in a grave somewhere. It is time you and I lifted our eyes beyond ourselves and got over the stupidity of our self-importance and took the focus away from ourselves. Ask God to pardon us for our pride. And lift our eyes upward. Away from our helplessness. And said, God, You can do everything. I can do nothing. I abhor myself. My pitiful self. My transient self. My dusty self, my dying self. You can do everything. You need this God. And don't ever forget it. We'll continue this tomorrow. Shall we pray? Our Father, help us now to understand, at least by the hearing of the ear from Your Word, that You're the God who can do everything. And we need You today. There's some young people here that are looking at the next semester in great hopelessness, wanting to be here, but saying, humanly speaking, I can't be. There's some who are looking at the exams of the end of this semester looming and saying, I'm in big trouble. There's some who are looking at the failures of their life and their sinfulness and saying, I'm so weak. I'm so easily tempted. I'm so unworthy of the Lord who bought me. Lord, You can do everything.
Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. Today he'll bring part one of a message titled, The God Who Can Do Everything. The text is from Job 42, verses 1 through 6.